Hello, and welcome to the next edition of the Race Department podcast, where we like to blur the lines between real and virtual motorsports. As always, I, Paul Glover, am here with some friends to pick the juicy apples off the apple tree of motorsport and sim racing news. You try writing a new intro every episode. Following on from the last podcast, where Paul Jeffrey had deserted us for a wet Monza, we are once again one down. Firstly, joining me in the RD virtual studio is the man whose face is plastered all over our YouTube and Twitch channels, and we apologise for any offence caused. It's Paul Jeffrey. Hello, Paul.
Hello, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm very good, but yourself?
Yeah, absolutely bouncing off walls. Glad to be back.
Good, good, good. Thanks for joining us. Also, squeezing into the booth this week, his PC may have blown up. He quickly splashed the cash that he'd saved up all those years doing his paper round. It's Joseph Wright. Hello, Joseph.
Hello, hello. Nice to see you. Well,
good?
Hear you.
Yeah, you good?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. You?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, mate. Very good. So, listeners, you're eagerly awaited to hear what we've got to go to cover this week. Well, then, I shall tell you. F2 officially confirmed for F1 2019. Kartcraft updates keep on rolling. A new truck game has been announced, and we will be asking the big question this week: does better hardware make you a better sim racer? So let's get straight into it. Topic number one this week: F1 2019. F2 is officially confirmed, but we also want to note that there's also the Prost and Senna updates coming to the game as well. Paul, you wrote the article. Let's go to you first on this one.
Yeah, man, exciting times. Really excited. I'm really, really, really pleased that Formula 2's coming to F1 2019. Long overdue, some might say. And I'm curious to see how they're going to incorporate it in the game world within the title.
Yeah, because they haven't really given us a lot, have they? They've told us it's going to be there, but haven't told any, kind of given any sneak preview into how it's going to be implemented.
No, they've kind of indicated it's going to be available online and offline, and it's going to have some level of incorporation into the career mode. So one would assume that you start in F2 and you can get promoted into the main series if you're either good or you have tons and tons of cash and you can buy your way in. And yeah, really good. Starts with the 2018 season, and I think 2019's coming as a free update as well. So I'm pretty happy about it, to be honest. I think it's a really good move by Cody's, and hopefully the start of the full ladder of progression. So maybe like GP3 comes in at some stage in the future as well. That'd be pretty sweet, wouldn't it?
It would be pretty sweet. Joseph, no one really knows how the F2 kind of progression is going to work, whether it's going to be like just one or two races or whether you have to win the championship or maybe finish in the top three. What do you suspect?
Well, I think, I hope more that it is going to be the whole season. And like Paul says, you have to progress your way through the career and out of Formula 2 into Formula 1. But what I really would love to see is that being implemented more than just, we've got F2 cars now, so let's just chuck them into the career mode. I want them to think about how it's going to work, and it's not just going to be just add an addition, because I found that in the previous games you've got all the classic cars. I hate how they've just been chucked into the game in that career mode, just, oh, this is a special event, go and drive it for 5 minutes around a circuit. That's not fun for me. That's not what I like. And if they're going to do that with the Formula 2 cars, then I'm out. I'm not going to deal with that.
I think you've got a good point there, because often they just feel like afterthoughts, don't they? And then the following game has improved immersion where it makes it a little bit more of a coherent experience. So I hope they nail it first time and make it so it's a realistic aspect of game that somebody's going to go out and want to play, rather than just, yeah, here we go, this is something for the box art cover to say that we've got it, and in reality don't really mean much to somebody who's playing either a career mode or I want to be able to pick up, because we've talked about this millions of times, so I'll not go into it again. I'm not bothered about career mode and cinematics and all that jazz, but I would like to be able to fire up a full 2018 offline season in GP2. I don't want to be locked down to have to do grind to get through. I want to be able to just pick it up from the UI, go races, Lando Norris or whatever, and away you go. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, personally, F1 2018, the game at the moment, has got some issues online. You could search the internet, you could see these wonderful bugs, like endless. And in a while, this great content is amazing. You read the comments online, a lot of people are like, well, what about the bugs? What are you doing about the bugs? How are you going to improve the online thing? And I think maybe this is where, you know, it's more aimed at the console gamers, because it's on, you know, because you've got the Legends Edition, which is also out, coming out on the PS4 and the Xbox, as well as being available on Steam. But some of the clips you see online of the F1 2018 games, like cars are just in random spots on the track, and I've never experienced that in an R Factor 2 race or an Assetto Corsa race. You know, you might get it when some particular racer has lag on his connection, but you don't get the whole field suddenly go absolutely nuts because it's a bug in the code.
But to be fair, I mean, to be fair on Cody's, it is still a relatively new engine that they're running the F1 series on, I think. It's only like 2 or 3 years old or so. So I would hope they were saying thick end of 2 years they've been developing this. Not quite sure how that works in terms of scheduling, but thick end of 2 years, I would hope those sort of problems have been recognised, acknowledged, ironed out and sorted by now with a bit of luck.
Yeah, because even when you watch the esports stuff that they do, you know, even when they're running locally, you can see there's lag.
And that's no good.
Or what perceives to be lag, you know, like cars are kind of slightly jumping about, which surprises me because it's local.
Yeah, exactly. You get a small amount of lag.
And when
like
I was watching the SRO esports that you were involved in, Paul, I didn't see any of that in a set of Corsa Competizione, and you know, and that's what they're competing against.
Well, I'm just gonna point out here with the talking about all the bugs that are coming out and comparing actually a set of Corsa Competizione and the F1 franchise, is that's the thing. The F1 series is a franchise. They are working on it and getting out a new version every single year. So at the end of it, when they're looking now at releasing F1 2019 a lot earlier than all of their previous versions, I mean, it's what, 2 months earlier than a number of their previous games, you're going to see that their focus is going to be like, okay, yeah, F1 2018 has got these bugs, but at the end of the day, who cares? Because F1 2019 is coming out, yeah. And within three, four months after the game comes out, there's only going to be one or two people still on F1 2018 online. Why does it matter? And I think that's the issue when you have the yearly games that come out. You're going to have these bugs, and they're just going to say, what's the point in fixing them? We've got another game coming out.
But tell that to someone who splashes £65 on an Xbox version or a
Switch. That's true. I was going to say, I was just looking at all the prices. Well, on the console, you've got the £50 for the Anniversary Edition, £65 for the Legends Edition.
That's a lot of money for a computer game.
It is. Luckily, if you're going to go on to the PC version, you can currently pre-order it for £40. So it's slightly cheaper. But there is no Legends Edition available at the moment on the computer. That's one thing that I've noticed. So if you are looking at pre-ordering now, don't if you want the Legends Edition, because you can't. But yeah, it's one of those things at the end of the day. Yeah, they look at it, they think, okay, this is a yearly series. We can put a game out. People are going to buy this. Let's put a £65 price tag on it. People are going to pay that. We know they are. And it doesn't matter about our old game anymore. It just matters when this game comes out. Is it going to be good enough quality for £65? Yeah, it will be at the time. In a few months, bugs will arise. And at that point, they'll be thinking, oh, we got 2020 coming out soon.
The bugs are there.
Well, they are, but people don't always like, there are big bugs that are fixed. But then there's those smaller bugs that people don't really moan as much about. Or at least they aren't constantly saying, look, we won't play this game if this isn't fixed. And I'm surprised, like you say, with the networking issue. That is a major issue, definitely, with that esports. And I must say, that esports was quite surprising to see all of the lagging going on. And quite really, a bit of a shame, bearing in mind how professional that was, like professionally it was supposed to be, and then they let it down with network.
Yeah, I think it kind of undermines the product a little bit for me.
It does. It really
does. You
know,
like, because it was a very slick, well done. You know, you've got proper commentators. The guy that commentates on BBC, Five Live in the UK, and also does Formula E coverage, Jack Nicholls. I think he was, you know, he was part of the commentary team for the Formula One Esports. But when you're watching it, I couldn't take it as seriously because the cars are kind of moving about in a really, really odd way. But, yeah, I think, you know, going back to Paul's comment about racing it offline, I think that is where the game, I think, comes into its own to be able to run a season as Lando with, you know, not the one from Star Wars, of course, but but yeah, who, you know, just on the offshoot had a brilliant start to the season. But yeah, so Paul, I think, you know, offline championships would be great, and potentially be able to run as you know, drive Senna and Prost car as well. That's an added little bonus.
Well, for me, controversial comment time. Ooh. I have zero interest in the historic stuff in the F1 series because I enjoyed F1 2018. When I did my review, I said I really enjoyed it, and I do. It's a great game for what it is, but it's not simulating enough of realistic behaviour to make driving a 1990 Ferrari Formula One car any worth to me whatsoever. It's just a visual thing. It's not. I'd rather drive an historic Grand Prix car in a more serious sim, like an Assetto Corsa or an R-Factor 2 or whatever. So, because they're disparate cars, so there's not even a full 1990 grid, it's just two or three different cars from different eras, and as Joe said, they have bizarre implementations into the game, it kind of feels a bit worthless to me personally. It's something that I drove the 1995 4-1 T2 Ferrari once, just to listen to the screaming screaming V12, and that's about all the interest it holds for me. So yeah, I don't really care for the historic stuff. I don't think it's going to add anything to the playing adventure, apart from the novelty of being Prost or Senna against the other one. But in terms of driving experience, it's not bringing me any of the feelings of what Prost or Senna would have felt in those situations. So yeah,
I don't think that was controversial at all. I think you've raised a very valid point there. Because
why? Thank you very much.
It's not a sim game, is it? It's not what we were. It's more arcadey, isn't it?
But it's great for what it is. I mean, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dissing the game. F1 2018. I expected to not particularly like it, and I absolutely loved it. Fantastic title. It's not a sim game. Absolutely, it's not one of the usual big hitters, but for what it is, for what it does, a very, very good game that I would happily, if I ever had free time, spend a couple of hours firing up and playing and getting a great amount of pleasure out of it. I just don't think that type of game, historic content, works for anybody other than people that just want the novelty of being Prost and Senna. Like a Forza type thing. You don't drive a Lamborghini Countach in Forza 7 to feel what it's like to drive a Lamborghini Countach. You just do it because, hey, cool, a bit of fast, sports car. Yeah. And it's like that for the content historic for F1 games, for me personally anyway. But each to their own.
No, fair point. Joseph, any final words on F1 2019?
I will buy it, as I have bought every single F1 game since 2010. I'm not going to say I think it's going to be the best one yet. I'm not going to say it's going to be just one that sits in the middle of all the games.
They've hyped it up, haven't they? Developed for two years, haven't they? They have,
and it's...
Hope the next one's been developed for 3 years.
Yeah, they all started back in 2010 secretly. They've just been working it all this time. But no, I just hate the fact they've called it Anniversary Edition, yet they haven't included a game for a car from every single one of their previous games, like at least one. That would have been great, so I could drive a car from every single one of their previous games. Anyway, I'm not going to get hung up on it. What they've introduced in it seems really cool, and I can't wait to find out how the Formula 2s are going to be implemented into the career.
Good, good, good. Right, so that's F1 2019 discussed. Moving on to a game that I've been keeping my eye on that I haven't quite spent the cash on yet, but I will do at some point because it's sparking my interest more and more and more, is Kartcraft. It's been on Steam for a little bit, early access for a while now. It went quiet for a bit, if I remember if I, my memory serves me right.
Yeah, it went quiet for a long time.
It did, didn't it?
Years,
yeah.
Years, you, some might say.
I was going to say, because I remember when I first heard of the game, I looked into it, I couldn't even buy it. It was just not available to buy. But since it's come back, yeah, fantastic revival of what is the best, in my opinion, simulator for karting out there.
Yeah, so they recently did some updates for VR, for Oculus VR, including ASW 2.0. They've updated to the newer version of Unreal Engine, which I know that Assetto Corsa Competizione. You think I get easy every week saying that?
Oh, it doesn't. It seriously doesn't.
It uses the same engine, some performance improvements, and then the latest update. So that update there, which I've just mentioned, was back on released about April 17th, and then the more recent one, which was released, I think, last week, includes some more bug fixes in the game, like broken AI avoidance and all these other pieces. Gathering from your comments, have you got the game? Have you played it?
Yes, I've got it. I've played it. I love it. I haven't played it much since the AI was introduced, but I have done a few races with them. And I must say, yeah, out of all of this, because I can't remember what the other kart sim's called, but there's another one that I had, and it lacked the AI. It wasn't as much fun. But this, it's got me back and hoping, because you've obviously got some really big, well, you've got Kart Sim is an amazing commercial sort of industry type of simulator that you just can't get your hands on, and this is the next thing that we can get our hands on as consumers at a reasonable price, and for the price you can get it at, it is fantastic and worth it. It's just missing online, and that would make it
it's currently about £15 in the UK, so I imagine that's probably about what, maybe €18
and I think for the game it is completely worth it. I mean, yes, you have a lack of carts, you have a lack of tracks, you have a lack of quite a lot, but it's being an early access, it's a great start to the sim for £15, whatever, €18, wherever you are. It's absolutely fantastic, because you can just get down into a car and you spend the money one off, you can get down onto the car at what is one of my favorite circuits, PFI. You can get down into a car just at one off price. You have to go and drive a car down at your local racing center. You have to be playing at least double that just to get an hour out on track. So I think for what it's worth, it is fantastic and feels amazing, and that's an important thing. There are a number of carts out there in a lot of different sims, but these just feel right.
Yeah, so did you just mention Karting Racing Pro? Is that the other game you said that's out there?
Well, there is Kart Racing Pro, yes.
Which is £30 in comparison, but I don't know, like, I'm just looking at its Steam page.
Yeah, I'm just going to go into my Steam, because I do own it, and I'm just going to actually just double check that is the name of it.
Yeah, it is Kart Racing Pro, yeah.
Well, that's it, that's the one. And it is, it's not as good, in my opinion.
What separates it then? Why isn't it as good? What sets, you know, Kartcraft ahead in your opinion?
In my opinion, first of all, AI. That is something that makes it a little bit more interesting, because a lot of people are there fine with hot lapping. That's brilliant. There is online in Kart Racing Pro, but you'll only get one or two people online. You won't get many. And it's just, in my opinion, that Kart Racing Pro, it may feel a little bit more realistic, but on a home setup, you will never get your setup to work perfectly with a kart. And I think that makes Kart Racing Pro too challenging to be able to drive decent. On the other hand, Kartcraft, you can, yes, it will take you maybe half an hour to an hour to actually learn how a kart behaves, but it works so well. You can feel it and you can get into a rhythm, which I just haven't been able to do in anything outside of Kartcraft in a kart.
Yeah, I mean, it does appear, Paul, that they are the two different markets. One is more aimed at a realistic simulator to train someone for using a kart, as where Calfgrat, woo, is, get that wrong, is making funny noises as well now. This is the new me. is like Joseph said, it's got the AI and then it could be adding multiplier on, you know, it's to join the ranks of R Factor and Assetto Corsa.
Yeah, they made a lot of big noise about it being the ultimate karting simulator. I think they simulate Flatty Shex. God, it's passing on, man. It's Chassis Flex as well, which is something that's not really been done in a karting content up to now. The graphics are fantastic, and I've got to admit, it's been a while since I've been on it. I was lucky enough to be accepted into the original, early, many years ago, closed beta program for Kartcraft, the version that never came out. And it was a train wreck, to be quite honest. I can see why they left it a few years until bringing it out. A lot of bugs, a lot of problems, but the potential was there. And when we spoke to Zach and Tigran a couple of years ago at RD for a little interview, we had a good chat, and they're really enthusiastic. The karters, they've raced professional go-karts before, so they know what they're talking about, and they really got an appetite for bringing a realistic title to market that's also accessible, that people can have fun with, but get a one-to-one feeling of what a real car is. And it's a dangerous marketplace for them to go into, because unlike something like Assetto Corsa Competizione, very few people who play that have driven a GT3 car in anger. But a go-kart, a lot of people, to a lesser or greater degree, have driven rentals or professional karts and whatnot. So they've got a direct real-world comparison to make. So quite a risky business going in and doing that, but I believe they've nailed it. I mean, I've not driven it for a while. I drove it when it first came back out again. And at the time, I wasn't that impressed. There were still a few bugs in it. I couldn't get the feeling I was used to through my wheel, but I understand it's moved on significantly since then. And I'm interested because I've driven Arrive and Drive and professional go-karts at PFI, so I've driven the content that they've got in the game in the real world.
Ooh,
so
check you out.
Oh, no, man, I'm not saying competitively. I turned up. We had a budget, including
don't
the
know,
car.
I don't know, man, your side, I don't know how you fit into a car.
Well, to be honest, it was quite embarrassing.
Yeah, I can imagine your knees are probably above the steering wheel. But
we're all 6'4" plus. We had a budget of about £500, including the car we turned up in. And during the test that we were there,
we've had this conversation, didn't you?
Under beers at, in Germany.
We talked about this last time. Yeah, I mean,
bad times.
For me, I haven't played the game, but it is whipping my appetite.
Yeah.
I'm just deciding when I'm going to splash that cash, because somebody uploaded a video onto YouTube of them in VR just looking at the, like, standing back from the car, and it's just sitting there with its engine running, and I'm like, I recognise that sound.
Looks epic, and it sounds epic.
And it just looks beautiful, and it sounds amazing. So, you know, it's being done to a really, really high standard. So it's got my eye, and it would be actually maybe, you know, it would be good if maybe we can get the developers on for a special podcast, because you know, it sounds like a game that could really go somewhere.
I think it could either go somewhere or it could flatline. I'm not sure yet. I think it will. I honestly think it's got the potential to be something in a karting marketplace pretty damn epic. But I know it was several versions ago, so my info and experience is out of date. But it was several versions ago I last drove it, before the AI update, certainly. And I just couldn't get to grips with the amount of steering lock that was or was not required to get them round track. It didn't correlate with my experience in a go-kart. But I understand a lot of work's gone in, so I may be talking a little. I may be being unfair here and basing it on a much, much older version. From what Joe says, he's really impressed. So, and I know Joe's been in the kart before, so I will defer to his more recent experience in the title for that one.
Yeah, it's just good to see a game like that continuing to develop and pick up speed. So, and I hope it, you know, becomes a popular game and people go out and buy it, and hoping that they're happy with it. Right, third news item of the week. Didn't see anything about this until I saw it posted on Twitter, and I think while you were away, Paul, I sent you a message to say, have you seen this? Because I know there are a lot of people out there that love truck racing. I've never been a fan of it personally.
Scandalous.
I'm with you there, Paul. I think this is going to be PJ's entire talk about this.
Listen, all I know is they're really powerful diesel engines in these things. And, you know, trucks are generally quite powerful anyway. They go a lot faster without a trailer on the back. I have no reason not to have gone to watch truck racing because I'm not that far away from Brands and it's there every year. So, but looking at this game, so it's been announced on the PC, PS4, Xbox. I think the developer is Big Ben Interactive. I like the name. It's also coming out on the Nintendo Switch as well, which makes me think arcadey immediately.
Yeah. Well, what's making me think arcadey is Big Ben. Is that WRC?
Yes.
That yeah, okay, I'm just not going to talk about this conversation now.
And I think Keyleton Racing Games are involved as well, I think. So Big Ben's the publisher, Keyleton's the developer, if memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I've seen that name abandoned somewhere as well.
Which has got an up-and-down reputation for sim quality, shall we say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks amazing. The visuals they've released so far look spectacular, but I think it's kind of going down the F1 2018, 2019, where it wants to try and go mass market, so it's not necessarily going to appeal to more of the hardcore sim racers, but it might do.
I'm not sure. I think it's too early to tell. I think it's too early at this stage. We don't know enough about it to really make a considered judgment on whether it's going to be arcade or sim. But I just think it's marvellous that the FIA European Truck Racing Championship has got an officially licensed video game. That's wicked, good. Man. That
yeah, it is wicked.
And it's a great series.
I think just saying that now, with what you're seeing introduced into all of these different games now and things that are getting their own games, is it's pulling the market away from F1. And that's what motorsport is becoming. It's becoming a market outside of F1, which I think is fantastic to see. And I just can't wait for a new BTCC game to come out.
Sure, tell me about it. Wait for
wouldn't that be marvellous? And can I just say, thank God the drivers in that Ginetta crash were okay because of the weekend. Because
I was there that weekend.
I know you were. Yeah, I saw your ugly mug on Twitter. I mean, why would you inflict that on people? I do not know.
It's because I couldn't get near enough to a car, so I had to just do me next to a coffee. And, hey! And then probably forgot that we've got social media channels and nothing else all day.
I still remember going to watch F1 and the only picture I've got is with two F1 cars really far in the background and my face just looking like it's in a wind tunnel. But I posted it because this is the best place to get
close to a Formula 1 car is go to Goodwood's Festival Speed.
Yeah. That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not what we are talking about.
We went on a diversion. But I mean, you know, it does look like a beautiful game, and I can imagine actually, you know what, as a game, it could be quite good fun.
Yeah,
to race big trucks around a track.
Well, the Formula Truck content for Automobile Ballista is my ultimate favourite sim racing vehicle. Fantastic dozy. So if it gets anywhere near that, it's going to be very exciting.
So that's where I'm the complete opposite, and I hate that car.
It's amazeballs.
Hate it.
Thing is, it's not a car, though, is it? It's not a car.
Well, no, but
I hate that. That's the problem.
Come on, Joseph. I mean,
but to be fair, I love watching it race. So yeah, I don't think I'll ever get down on track with it. But as long as I can broadcast it, I'm there. I'm getting it.
But I think it'll be positive because little known fact for you all, the guy that runs the real world FIA European Truck Racing Championship is Mark Henrique, who's the guy that also runs Sim Racing Expo. So he's a sim racer. We were talking to him actually at Monza, funnily enough, because he's involved in Blancpain too. And he was talking about the game, everything, which obviously I shall not speak of. But it bodes well that somebody who's a sim racer that knows his stuff is involved in this. So
a sim racer and massive motorsport, obviously organizer
former,
as well.
Former just World Touring Car Championship driver as well.
Well, there you go. He's got experience everywhere and he's a sim racer. So it's not just a racer coming in and saying, what can I do the best here that makes it realistic? It would be a thing of what can make this the best sim as well.
I don't think it'll be a money grab. I think it's designed to bring fans to the championship to give some exposure.
It would not be a money grab, bearing in mind how it's focused on what is. I've never seen a full European truck race. Ever.
Oh, dude, you need to catch some of that on the internet.
I will have to watch one, but I've never seen it, and I don't think a lot of motorsport fans have, because it's not a big one. But this, as you say, it's not something to grab the money into it, it's to grab the audience and bring those into watching
the
sport.
Well, it would help if it came to the UK, because looking at the calendar, it doesn't.
It used to come to... The British Truck Racing Championship's a good series.
Yeah.
Little bit more amateur than the FIA job, but still, again, big rigs.
Well, at the end of the day, you'll always have nationals are always lower. I think the only one that you can agree is higher is, I'll come back to it, BTCC. It's the only one that you can say that is the only national championship that is bigger and better than the international one. Other than that, what you'll find, yes, you will have the British championship, the truck championship, lower than the European one, but that's why we're getting a European driving game, and that at the end of the day, if it's moddable, you'll get the schemes for the British track for this one as well. So that's the whole thing. If it's moddable, anything will appear in a game.
But actually, talking about sort of content as well, they've got a few tracks that don't appear in the truck racing calendar. So I think there's Laguna Seca's in there.
Oh, right. Okay.
And a couple of others who've just escaped me now in my mind. So you've got like an 8-race calendar. It's got things like Jerez, Le Mans, Misano, I think.
Slovakia Ring. Lost in Czech Republic. Zolder, Le Mans, Bugatti, they've called it.
Yeah, that's the short version.
Yeah, that's the short version. That's the one that bites you.
Jarama in Spain. I've never heard of that.
Jarama. Good track. There you go.
Never even heard of it.
You spelled Formula One back in the 80s.
I mean, I was still in my nappies then, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the internet's for, man. back issues of Autosport, come on.
I've Googled it now. I want to have a look at Jarama.
Nice track.
I don't actually think of... Is this in any sim?
I've never raced it on any sim I know of.
I was going to say, it's not based in any sim.
No, it's not official.
I did a race the other week, and I was like, I've never raced around this track, and then I got on it, and I was like... Oh, yeah, I have in Forza.
I love it when you get onto circuits like that. Laguna Seca, the first time I came on that in a proper sim, I was like, oh, I've never done this before I realised, oh, one minute, this was the first ever track I drove on again.
On the Jarama front, if anybody wants a good version, the 1988 F1 track pack for R-Factor 2, it's in that nice version. I think it's changed a little bit nowadays, but not by much. I forget who made that track pack now. He did the awesome 1988 Formula One cars too. So there you go, top tip viewers. Listeners, should I say.
Come on, Paul. You're not doing YouTube or Twitch now, mate.
I put a flower of shirt on.
Did you say he also created the cars?
I'm sure he did. He did the cars on the track pack.
Then it'll be a Carrera.
Carrera 88, that's the one. Awesome content.
Available at racedepartment.com in the download section.
It is indeed. Get on over, people, and give it a try if you haven't already. But yeah, that sums up, really, the truck racing. Personally, I think that's going to be epic. Even if it does go down the more user-friendly arcade route, if they still ground as much of it in reality as possible, it's going to be an insta-buy.
To be fair, if it is
an arcadey one, I think I'm more likely to buy it because it can be something... I like my sit-back-and-relax games, and it can be something where I don't have to put in hundreds of hours just to learn how to drive it. Because on Automobilista, they are hard work to figure out how on earth they drive compared to everything else.
They're amazing.
They are, like, really challenging. So to get this, to have something that maybe be on a Formula One level in the sense
of it's
perfect. A mix between sim and arcade, that'll be fantastic. Because then it can be drivable, but at the same time feel a little bit like, oh, this is actually quite challenging to drive because it's very, very different to any other vehicle you race.
When does it come out, Paul? Do you know?
What, the game?
Yeah.
July 2019, so not long.
Oh, wicked, so not long to wait then.
Yeah, but I'm just reading some of the comments at racedepartment.com because Paul posted an article about the game. Come and join the discussion. You know, people are like, oh, you know what, it's something different.
Yeah.
And it's where, you know, people are saying, oh, it looks good, but, it looks good, but we don't know what, you know, what that actually is going to mean in with regards to gameplay. I'm sure the sounds and it will look beautiful, but It's an interesting one because truck racing, on the grand scheme of things, is quite a niche market, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in some, like Germany, Czech Republic and whatnot, it's massive. It's a real big noise over there. But in mainland Europe, and certainly over here in the UK, no, it's not a very big, it's not a very big world category, shall we say. And that's a pity, because I know, obviously, we spoke about, like, Joseph not enjoying driving the Formula trucks and whatnot, but in terms of a spectacle, in terms of a motor race, it's surprisingly good racing. So if this just piques the interest of a few people to say, hello, I'll have a quick look on Google, on YouTube or whatever, and I'll watch one of these races, see what it's all about, that's job done.
Yeah.
I defy anybody who likes motorsport to watch it and come away and go, yeah, that was garbage. Didn't enjoy that at all. You can't not do it. It's damn good racing. So if that's the sole purpose of the game, it's to shift a few units and draw some more attention onto the category, then that's a good thing for the sport, and I'll be glad to see that, because, as I say, seen them a couple of times in the flesh at Donington and once at Brands as well, and epic racing.
Yeah, but it'd be nice if they put VR in it.
Oh, man.
Like, in a truck, that'd be kind of like, you know, that would be kind of nice. But, yeah.
It's so bizarre to be so high up, wasn't it? Looking down at everything with all the diesel smoke coming at you. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, because, as we all know, I'm a VR snub. Right. okay. Clear my throat. Main topic for this week, Paul, I don't know if you listened back to last week's episode, but we kind of touched on this a little bit around hardware again, and I think it's a popular topic for people out there because there are differences in opinion. Following on from last week, we were going to talk about something different, but because David Day's not here this week, we decided, because he's the main man for that particular topic around AI in sim racing, which we'll get onto next week, in 2 weeks' time, sorry, next episode. So this week we're going to talk about, does better hardware make you a better sim racer? And I want to start on this because recently I bought some new pedals, which I've mentioned already a few times. I know. Keep banging on about it. And the answer is yes and no for me. I am still not consistent. I mean, you know, I think that is down to lack of track time on my part. And coming home and making dinner and whatnot, and sometimes I just want to relax in front of the television and watch Game of Thrones or whatever other TV show that I'm following at the moment, or maybe watch some football. There are other sports out there, Paul.
No, they're not. You can't race it, it doesn't exist.
They do exist. Nope. You know what? I had a conversation with people in the pub on the weekend because they were in there watching the football, and they were like, you'd be watching F1. I was like, whatever. So, I talk to people that just don't do motorsport. And you know, you don't do football, so that's fine. You know, I kind of, it's all out there, Paul. It's what happens. But
no, the world does not exist outside of sim racing and motor racing. I defy you to prove it
wrong. I agree with you, Paul.
Well, considering you've now got a Sheffield team to sort of got into the Premiership, I think, you know, you'll hear more and more about it. But so I haven't upgraded my wheel yet, but I've upgraded my pedals, as we all know. And they have made a difference in the fact that I've noticed now in certain races, when I'm braking, I am gaining time in the corners. Either just on the lap time or when I'm able to brake a little bit later than some people now. I'm able to go later on the brakes. That's definitely true. What it hasn't helped is my right foot. My right foot is still too heavy on the throttle. And that's when I get the wheel spin and I lose the car. But it has added that element of realism that I've never had before with the G27 pedals. You know, the G27 pedals did me fine for years, but I just don't have the control now that I have. I definitely have more control, but the fact that I spin every so often, or I miss my braking point, or I overshoot a corner, whatever it may be, it's down to me. It's not down to the hardware. I think the biggest thing that made me faster, which I know Joseph has just recently purchased, is VR. That definitely made me more consistent, because my brother, when he tried the VR, and he's not a sim racer by any stretch, he just plays, he's a casual gamer. Comment that he made to me was, he found it easier to learn the track in VR because it's so real.
Good point.
You're not like on a flat screen, because you've got the wheel and the pedals and everything all combined, he said within 2 laps he knew the track. But if he was playing on a keyboard and on a screen, or maybe even just a wheel with a screen, he didn't feel that it was as immersive, and he wouldn't learn the track as well. So VR has definitely made me a better racer in the sense that my awareness is better where people are. And I hit the apex is better now and things like that. I'm still slow. Don't get me wrong. I'm still slow. But as I look at my rig now, VR was, a big improvement for me. For the pedals. So I think I'm definitely better, as you know, even Joseph will have to see that I did win. I did not win. I came top three in a race, which never happens.
Nice. Congratulations.
In the Porsche GT3 on a Friday evening, club racing. Join racedepartment.com to take part. And amazing. But I think it also helped that I knew the track very well. And that's a big thing. So, yeah, I think hardware can help, but it still relies on your talent. Who wants to go next?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
If you want. Yeah, I was thinking, I was just listening to that and everything. Yeah, obviously, I've gone and got myself new pedals as well.
Oh, what did you get?
God, I'd love to be able to tell you. I'll search up whilst I'm talking.
Well, you don't know what you got.
No. My memory is terrible, right? It is actually terrible. What I did get was the Thrustmaster T3 PA Pro pedals.
Okay, which they use those at RSO Esports, didn't they, Paul? Yes, they did.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. I don't know. They were silver.
Thank you very much.
Just trading it all through, and you completely bombed out. But anyway,
I floodlights in my eyes. Man.
Go on.
They arrived about a month ago, but I'm still waiting for the adapter so that I can actually use them.
Is that because you've got to plug them directly into the PC? You need a USB adapter, do you?
Yes, because I don't own the wheel yet, that's going to be my next purchase. Anyway,
okay.
So I've got some new pedals, so I'll be able to tell you in about a month when this adapter finally arrives how that feels. But I'm going to talk mainly about my setup that I've gone through. So not about the wheel, because I've talked so much about me obviously being on a joystick at the start with one hand on the wheel, and I've gone through all of that.
Yeah, and I'm falling asleep already. Yeah, go on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to talk about my development, and I can agree that yes, upgrading my hardware definitely made me a better driver. I went from single monitor to triple monitors, and immediately I was faster because I could see the apexes, I could see around me and what was going on. You have more awareness, and having those two screens on your left and right, you have a better sense of speed, so you can think about your braking points better, when you can accelerate and all that. So I did get a lot better when I went from singles onto triple monitors. And then from the triples, I go between triples and VR. I am in a mix of them. But just to put out there that out of this entire time, I've been at what, Race Department for 3 years now. I've been racing at Race Department for about 2.5. I have won 3 times. 2 of those were on triple monitor races. They were over a year ago. The last time I won was the only time I've ever raced online in VR. And that just showed, and that was against a very quick driver as well. And that just shows actually to be able to go from what we all know, I'm quite near back of the pack, middle of the pack. Definitely when I started on single. Yes, obviously it's been 3 years. I'm going to naturally get better. It's not like it's all because of the software. The hardware. It's also the fact that I have then gone from being on triple monitors onto VR. And VR, I felt this mainly on rallying. This is where I can tell my difference. You feel so much slower in VR. For me, personally, I just have more time to make my decisions. Because I feel slower, almost as if you were in a slower car on a circuit. You just feel like you can control it better. Like I said, I can mainly see that in rallying, because I went from when I was on triple monitors to crashing every six turns and throwing it off the route into a pile of trees, from being in VR, feeling like I was going so slow, but at the end of the stage, I was the fastest, purely because you can sense it so much better. So I think 100%, yes, hardware makes you faster. And that there's no argument. You can never say anything that will make me change my mind on
it. But does
that.
It make you consistent?
I'm consistent as it is. I don't need to... end of the day is not being distracted by things around you. You just can't be distracted by, oh, there's this guy ahead of me. If I just push here and there, I'll be able to catch up with him. But I've just spent the last five laps catching up to him. Why do I need to push now? I'm still catching up to him either way. I don't need to push extra. I got this guy on my chuff. Okay, then. If he's faster than me, I'll let him through. Otherwise, it's just going to ruin my race. I can battle with this guy, but at the end of the day, if he's going to get past me, why am I going to lose four or five positions when I could just lose one? And that's my look into it. So I might not have that, what everyone else thinks of, racist mentality. I've got to get that position. I've got to hold this position. I just think of it in the long run. And that, for me, is where my endurance racing comes in.
Okay, right. So I want to pick up something that you said. So yeah? I felt you kind of contradicted yourself. So you said that...
Okay, here you go.
You kind of got faster because you were practicing. So what was the difference with the rally game? Why wouldn't you say you got better and faster more consistent? You know, because you said on triples you were crashing every few corners, where with VR you don't feel like you're not. But why couldn't that not be down to practice as well? Why do you feel that VR really made a difference?
It's not for me. That's not practice, because I don't do rallying a lot as it is anyway. And they were completely different stages. But what I've done is I've gone from being in triple monitors, and when you're in triple monitors, everything is flying by at ridiculous speeds, and you're going from one corner to the next. And for me, it's too far. I'm quite a slow person. My mind takes a while to figure out what to do. Unfortunately, that's just the way I am. And for me, in rallying situations, you've got to be on it like that. You've got to know what's coming next. Just this tiny, minute thing. You see a tiny rock, you've got to get away from that rock. You've got all these different things. And in triple monitors, everything's flying at you that my brain just can't process it. And then getting into VR, it just, because you haven't got the trees flying past you left and right, you've just got that one view of what you would really see, I can take it in better. And because my mind is used to driving along a car at stupid miles an hour on like the motorway or through back roads or something like that, I'm just used to processing information in that situation where I feel like it's real. My brain is used to that, and therefore I can put it into my sim racing, and because of that, everything feels slower, and I can understand what's coming next, and I can make that decision where I need to go, what I need to do. And I saw that on Dirt Rally. The original one, obviously not Dirt Rally 2, doesn't have it yet. But I saw that on Dirt Rally, and I could improve about 4 seconds on a stage.
Dirt Rally 2 doesn't have it yet, don't you?
Well, it's going to be based on just Oculus, isn't
Brexit.
It?
Brexit. Anyway, go on. Right. got to get the same joke
I'm
in there
gone.
I'm just going to mention that word. Just to get, yeah.
I'm going now. I'm
okay. See you later. You go and have fun. Paul, so you've heard what I've had to say, you've heard what Joseph had to say, what are your thoughts?
Yes. No, sim racing is all about muscle memory when driving. So yeah, in that respect, the more information hardware can give you, for me, the better it will make you drive and the more consistent it will make you, because it's telling you more about what the virtual car is doing on track. It's hopefully, one would hope, doing a better job of replicating the forces that you're not feeling through your backside by not being in a real car, which should give you more control over what's happening, allow you to do more with the car, allow you to place it on the circuit more and react to anything that might or might not go awry. So the short answer is, yeah, I do think hardware makes you a faster driver and a more consistent driver up to a point, and then the rest of it is down to you, behind the idiot behind the wheel, putting the practice in.
I'm waving at you as you said idiot are. Behind the wheel. I was waving. He just can't see it.
But it's just, it's one of those things where even with a motion rig, you're never going to get the full range of forces that you can feel.
Well, you're not going to get G-forces, are you?
Of course you're not. Exactly. No. You're never going to get that. You're never going to get just the 1,000% small stuff that you get in a real car that you just can't even put your finger on what it is. But it's so different to being in a static or even a motion rig. So the more that your direct drive wheel or your force feedback wheel or your load cell pedals or whatever, the more information that can give to you, then the more you can do something with it. If I talk about pedals, because we all mentioned pedals, when I drove the Huskenveld Sprint, the new set at the Expo that we were at last year, Paul, I was blown away by the brake on that one, because that gave me so much more range to play with than anything I'd driven up to that point. So you could, like a normal set of pedals, so an entry-level set, or even like the V3s that you've got, the decent Fanatec V3s with the hall sensor and the load cells and whatnot, awesome set of pedals, but to a lesser or greater degree, they just stop the car on the brake. So they will slow the car down. When you've got a load cell, you can use the amount of force that you apply into them. They'll hit a stopper, and then you're applying extra force, will give you more braking force, which will allow you to slow the car down. Like you said earlier, Paul, allow you to slow it down later than other drivers, which means you can brake deeper into corner. That's wicked. But when you drive something which are admittedly much more expensive, the Huskenveld Sprints, the amount of travel and range and fidelity that pedal gave you, you can also brake as late as you can in others. But you've got so much more play that you can use the brake to manipulate the attitude and the behaviour of the car to get it to do things on the brake that you just can't do on, like, let's say, a set of G27 pedals. So the short time I had in the, I think it was Caterham at A1 Ring, Red Bull Ring, whatever it's called nowadays, I was using that brake to pitch the car, to brake traction at the rear of the car, and to bring the front end round to give me a more direct turning than I can do with my pedals that I've got at home. And that's lap time. Through and through, that's just instantly buying you half a tenth per corner. You do a corner, a track that's got 20 corners on it, you've got seconds in your pocket almost, and over a race distance, you've got dozens of seconds in your pocket just by having that extra level of play and ability to modulate the pedal to achieve a change in the dynamic of the car. So yeah, that's the long version of the short answer. Sim racing hardware definitely, in my opinion, will make you faster if you get the right gear. But you have to have the right gear, of course. Yeah, it's what's right for you. Like, some people might find absolutely no benefit in pedals, and they might find it all in a force feedback steering wheel.
Well, yeah, but it's the thing, right? Because you got these guys that we call aliens out there, that you ask them what wheel and pedals they're using, and they're using the G27.
Yeah, they turn force feedback off in some cases because it's telling them false things. So it's so... It's a good question, and it's a really interesting question, and I could argue that we'd probably be able to have a good long conversation every podcast about it, but actually it's kind of a misleading one as well, because hardware can make you faster, certainly. It can, without a shadow of a doubt, make it more immersive and entertaining and realistic for mm-hmm. you, but it all depends on the driver. Some people, the wheel I've got at the moment's really nice force feedback on it, and it's really detailed compared to what I've had in the past. But any non-sim racing friends that I've had that have come and tried it, that know about the racing and they can race, they're almost reacting to stuff that they need to just ignore, because any force feedback wheel, from the cheapest to the most expensive, is putting a certain amount of fake force in it to make up for you not feeling the seat of the pants and the movement of the car. So some of the things it tells you are not important. You don't need to respond. It's just telling you that, yes, the weight shifted to a certain part.
It's trying
to
make you feel in the moment, isn't it?
Of course it is. You know. Yeah, it's simulating what your backside can't feel.
Yeah.
And some people can can find that a little bit misleading and think, oh Christ, I felt the weight shift of the car. And rather that being the weight shift that you want, you're thinking that's I'm about to break traction. So you'll come off the throttle or you'll counteract that thing. And actually, if you didn't have force feedback turned on, you'd just hoon into cop's corner, put enough lock on and flat straight through it with no problem. But in a Assetto Corsa in cop's corner, let's say, the feedback's the car's shaking and bumping and boring and you're doing minute corrections here and there because you think you're rectifying a future slide, and in reality that just you're throwing lap time away. So it depends. The hardware is important, but it depends on how you compute that as a driver and what you do about it as well.
That's a really good point, because I'm probably guilty of that.
Overthinking it. We've talked about this offline before. It's overthinking it sometimes as well, I think, and yeah. Overthinking the inputs that you've been given, and also you've said it a load of times. You've got it in your mind that you're inconsistent, so you're going on to track thinking, "Don't be inconsistent. Don't be inconsistent." And you know what it's like. You have a really full cup of coffee. You pick it up and you take it to your seat. No problem. If you pick it up and think, I've got a white shirt on, don't spill this. You know you're going to spill it. It's all over your chest in 10 seconds flat.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of crack, I think. It's the same the kind of thing. It's. I often found, don't try this at home, children, when I'm either distracted because I've got something on my mind, or maybe if I've had a drink or something, a beer or whatever before, I'm a faster driver. Because I'm not thinking, this is the breaking point, this is the throttle, be careful of the corners. You just get in and it comes to you, and you know what you're doing. Okay, that's a rubbish and extreme example, but it's the same sort of thing. It's you get in and let it naturally flow through you. And I think, like I say, hardware can mislead you sometimes on that one if you take it too literally as to what it's telling you.
Yeah, you go on the forums and people talk about, I think this is always an ongoing conversation, isn't it? Does hardware make you faster? And I think we've all said to a point, yes, better hardware. When it comes to the immersion aspect, for instance, you're right. I mean, on the grand scheme of things, the Fanatec V3s, nothing compared to the sprints from. That you tested.
Yeah, but there's like a 300 quid difference, if not more.
Yeah, there is. So, to be expected,
they're a damn good set of pedals, the V3s.
Yeah,
really,
but what I like is the little motors that give me when the ABS is kicking in or whatever, and it gives me a bit more feedback, and so I can react to that. That's where I feel like, especially the cars where, they don't have ABS, I'm getting a bit more feel, and I'm able to roll the wheel is a bit better, and it's taking practice because I'm not used to it. I've been using G27s for God knows how many years. So that's the other thing. It's like it's all well and good upgrading from whatever wheel or whatever pedals you've got, but because like you touched on muscle memory,
that's the key.
I'm used to braking in a certain way, I'm going to brake exactly the same on the V3s I am on the G27 pedals.
They're so different feelings. I had G25s for years, and then I moved to the V2 Fanatecs, and I'd had those for years. And a couple of years back, when we were at the Expo, I did the... check it out on YouTube, people. The talk and drive of the, at the time, upcoming first Porsche for Race Room. And they had the G27, I think it was, or G29 wheel and pedals. Because I'd got used to having the load cell and the hall sensor on them, I'm driving this car and I'm locking up everywhere. And I actually got off and got on Skype afterwards and said to JF, this car's awful, man. It's locking up every 5 minutes. It's not realistic. And then we were talking about it after. It's the pedals, because I'm used to the force application of a load cell, and then you go back to the Logitechs, and they're just the travel of the pedal. I'm mashing the brake like I'm used to, and then modulating off. It's not got a load cell, so it's just the springs going all the way to the bottom, saying, full force, lock your tyres, and go slide. And, way different driving styles required, and that has to be muscle memory, because if you're going into a corner thinking, what am I going to brake like and where am I going to brake? Where you've just given away 0.3 of a second thinking about it.
Yeah. And I think, one of the things that I noticed when we went to the expo is, I'm not to the level where I want to go and spend 1500 quid on direct drive. I'm not going to do that. But when I sat down and just with the Fanatec 2.5 base. The feel compared to my G27 was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, just that more... Because I think the G27 is a cog system, I think.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And so there's a bit in the middle where it doesn't really do a lot. There's like a gap, isn't there? Like a gap in the cog where you turn left, nothing happens on screen. And so, you know, there's like I think it's a dead zone, isn't it? It's the dead zone is there. Like, and it's prominent. But on the 2.5s, you know, and obviously the force feedback is stronger, and it's more linear. You know, it isn't kind of, it isn't juddery like the G27 is. So I do think that there are moments now where more and more I've been driving with the G27 wheel, especially with the pedals. I have found since getting the pedals, I catch things a lot more now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I catch a slide and the car's going to do something, I'm able to get out of it and correct it. I will still lose speed, but, you know, I'm not crashing into a barrier, which is a better scenario. But I still think I'm losing something with the wheel.
Without a doubt, you'll be losing. I mean, I spoke to Bram a while back, and at the time, he's running a Driving Force Pro Thrustmaster?
Yeah, I think it might be, yeah.
Quite an old wheel now.
Yeah.
And we were actually at the Nordschleifer at the time, about to go out for a run, and we were talking about the merits of the Assetto Corsa version, and Davey and I both at the time had the Fanatec V2s, and Bram's got this older one. And Bram's like, the noise class rubbish in the Assetto Corsa. You can't feel any of the bumps that you can on the real track, and none of the undulations. And we're like, yeah, you can, man. It's bumpy as hell. You can feel all of it. Brilliant. And it was purely because he wasn't getting that range of feelings through his older wheel that Davey and I were with a V2. So from an immersion point of view, wheel is... arguably, if you've not got motion, you're probably the most important tool in terms of realism. Not speed, realism. Because that tells you everything. That's your link between sat in your house and sat on the tarmac at any given virtual racetrack sort of thing. And yeah, big difference from the road bumps to what the car's doing, to the way you can react to it. Like, I always say, anybody who does any kind of racing, I'm teaching you to suck eggs here, you all know it, but if you correct a slide at the point the car's starting to slide, you're too late. You want to correct the slide before it starts. You want to correct the slide as the car starts breaking traction. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a less clear signal in your wheel, you can't feel that. And the first note you've got is your visual or your audio prompt. Yeah, and then it's game over then. Then you're just going to get a tank slapper off.
Yeah,
man, way too late.
Yeah.
That's why motion's awesome. If you can feel it in your bum breaking traction, that's awesome. But a good wheel can do that,
so,
and that saves you.
So, I mean, motion's another thing. So, Joseph, Paul, I mean, do you think that you know, having motion, is that just a realism aspect, or do you think that, again, would make you a better driver?
Oh, both. Both. If anybody would like to give me a motion rig, please do. Tell me both one.
Well, I really would love a motion rig, especially with VR as well. That would just be like, oh my God.
Man, that would be heaven.
It would just be, I would be on it all day.
And the wind simulator in your face. The wind simulator in your face as well would be like amazing.
I'd just quit work. I wouldn't care if I don't get paid. I would just be on that all day, every day.
And then wonder how you find the $4,000 to buy the motion rig without a job.
Oh, wow. No, I would, to be
it's
fair.
It's utopia.
You think motion rig would make you faster?
Yes.
Yes. Definitely. Well, my brother would definitely agree, because he's raced in real life. He feels things, as he says to me, he feels things with his butt, not his hands. So for a motion rig, he can feel when a car is starting to slide. I can feel it in what the wheel's doing. And a lot of sim racers can do the same. If you feel the car starting to slide in the wheel, you know what to do to correct it. My brother cannot tell, because he feels it in his butt. An emotion rig will give you that feeling. So at the end of the day,
which makes me wonder, like, you know, because there is the, I don't know how closely you pay to social media and everything else that goes on there, but the, you know, the likes of Lando Norris and Max Verstappen both race for a team called Redline. And I listen to the BBC 5 Live Checkered podcast, which is all about F1. And on that, Jenny Gow spoke with Max Verstappen, and he mentioned sim racing. And then on the Sky Sports coverage before race on Sunday, Lando also mentioned it as well. So, and I'd be surprised to get their opinions on, you know, like you say with your brother, Joseph, you know, like he feels it with his butt. How? Because as far as I know, neither of them have motion rigs.
No, they don't.
No, no, I was going to say, I know that Lando streams quite a lot and he's on static, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so it'd be interesting how they cope with that switch.
You've but got
maybe
the
they're just maybe they're
that.
Just superhuman. That's why they're in F1.
Won't it?
Yeah,
who's
that's
got
true.
Experience as what? Sorry, I got a part of your conversation there, PJ, but I didn't quite get what you said. You've got experience of that.
Oh, sorry, no, I was saying Paul has right. got the direct experience. Of
right,
that
then, no, where... there you go. That I just heard something from it. And I didn't get any answer to what you had said. So I was like, what just was said?
Okay. We got excited with Lando Norris and Max Verstappen conversations. It threw us off. It threw us off. But now we're talking about the feeling in the backside with emotion. Remember, again, going back to the Expo last year.
We talk about it all the time. Like, you know, yeah, but yeah, you go on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember.
That's, you had to go in that. Oh, God, the wave Italy, the big Formula One
60 grand thing, yeah.
I know that's taking it to the maximum extreme, but when we were talking about it afterwards, when you got out, and that, the feeling of what the car's doing underneath you replicates the feeling in your bum.
Yeah.
Almost perfectly, I thought, with that, I could feel the tricky little, is it not the V-Doll chicane, the one... towards the end of the second sector of the Nürburgring, the tricky little chicane that you always think's flat, but actually you need to lift a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. I could feel the back end of the car pivoting, but just staying within the grip of the tyres and then going over the edge and do something about it before it was too late and we went off. And that's amazing, because then you can physically feel, much more than you can in a wheel, the limit of grip of the tyre. And that's where all your lap time is, because you want to obviously drive your car to 0.0001% of what the tyre's limit gets to. And you can't feel that through your wheel, because you can't feel the tyre flex. You can't feel the moment that it starts skipping over the surface of the track before it breaks and you spin round. But in a rear traction loss simulated motion rig, if it's good, if it's 60 grand's worth of good, then yeah, you absolutely can't you? And that's a big difference, though. What did you think about it?
Yeah, it was a couple that we tried. It was the things that got me were, I think we touched this before, is that when I was braking, I liked the fact the seat belts were pulling me back.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was a real immersive element. It took me a lap or two to get used to the amount of brake pressure, the pressure needed on the brake pedal of that thing, because I had to put my whole weight on it to get that thing to slow down, because it was like a proper F1 pedal. It was unbelievable. I would imagine they were using their own wave pedals in there. I wasn't too sure, but yeah, it gave me that kind of immersion that I've never had before. But because it was only a short stint, I don't know whether it would. You know, I wonder whether I've reached the limit of my talent. You know, like, there's a reason why I'm not racing in real life. Because when you're racing online, right, and then you see that, and someone's like 4 seconds a pole lap that's 4 seconds quicker than you, right?
Cheaters.
which happens to me. My aim is to always be within 2 seconds of the pole sitter, right? That's always kind of, that's my target, and finish top 10. Right? That's always my target when I race online. But, and they go, so what wheel are you using? And they're going, G25. And you're like, dude, like, that's really disheartening. Because I'm hoping you're going to turn around and go, yeah, I've got a Fanatec, or I've got, you know, whatever direct drive wheel or whatever's out there. And I'm like, that's really disheartening. Like, that's like crushes me. Like, crushes me to the core. So my argument would be is that, you know, there are guys out there that are running these older wheels that are smashing everybody. And like you say, it might be because they've turned force feedback off. I don't know. I've never thought about doing that with my G27. That might make me a faster driver.
Yeah, but what do you want, though? Faster realism? That's the other question, isn't
it?
Yeah,
true. That is a that's a very good point. I'm not going to do that now.
Yeah, I'll give away a second a lap and have a more realistic experience every single time.
Yeah, I suppose it depends if you want to get aroused by winning and being on the podium.
Yeah, I just want a good race. I want a good race. I want to.
Yeah,
think,
I don't.
Yeah,
you know
what,
that's the thing. That's what I'm always looking for. Whether it be in first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever, 20th. As long as I'm having a good battle with someone, I'm in a happy place.
Yeah, and as long the quality of racing sims nowadays, you don't even need to be in a battle with anybody. If the sim's good, the feeling of driving the car's good, and you're pushing
limit. I do like being in a battle.
Oh, God, your battle always wins. Of course, the battle's always the best thing. But even if you're driving a damn good sim,
oh yeah, if it
just,
feels
just
good,
just to be pushing
yeah,
your own personal limits, wicked.
Yeah, it's if it feels good, then like you know, there aren't many things in life that do feel good.
Yeah, damn true.
I was about to take us down a dirty route, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, let's think. Well, clear.
There are times where I've had a bad race, or I'm not in a position like someone's hit me or whatever, and I've spat out and I'm or whatever, or I've had a penalty or whatever, and I'm like, and but I haven't quit because it feels good.
Yeah,
like the experience feels good. I mean, I was Saturday night's race. I quit that. I was not in a good place, but. You know, but like I say, it's just disheartening when you're thinking, oh, they're going to turn around and go, yeah, I've got like £1,000 wheel and that's why I'm fast.
Practice but, is what makes you the fastest.
Yeah, this is it, isn't it?
It's time and practice. I can tell me a car and a track now and I'll go and drive it and I'll set lap time X, but then give me 2 weeks and I'll be 4 seconds faster than I am today without a doubt, just from practice.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I did Watkins Glen. I probably have raced around there, but I didn't really remember it. And my first lap round there, within six laps, I think I found 8 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. But even a track that you know, even if you go onto a circuit that you absolutely know every corner, you don't need to learn it, you just need to maximise your lap time. Spend a full day on it, put 1,000, 2,000 kilometres in, you'll still find 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you only need to maximise every corner.
Which gears work best coming out of a corner.
It's just the tricks. It's even when you get past that level, it's the little tricks that get you half a tenth a corner. Just the little things, not even the basic things like where do you brake, where do you accelerate. It's just the little things, like is there a little bit of camber on this corner that you'd not accounted for before that makes it wiser to turn in later and catch the camber so it can ricochet you back out? Or
do you
sacrifice this corner for the next one because
you
the
sacrifice
next one,
the entry to get the better exit? And
yeah. Or is it, we've talked about it before, haven't we? But if it's a chicane, do you think about braking a little bit earlier so you can get a better run? Or if there's three corners intersect each other, do you ignore the first two because the third one's one that matters? All those little things that nobody, unless they've done a whole ton of laps, would even consider because they're more concentrated on the basics. Mm. That's what separates the aliens. There's no such thing as, okay, no, I'm talking rubbish actually.
I caught up with Tariq, who was, he was with you in Monza.
He was indeed. Bless him. Had such an unfortunate day of racing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Really
but,
unlucky.
I mean, you know, I caught up with him the other night during an event, you know, and he said, you know, the hardware did take some time to get used to.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he, you know, he's right. You know, the guys that, you know, that run for Thrustmaster obviously do have an advantage because they will have that hardware at home.
Exactly.
So, you know, there are moments where drivers have to adapt, but that's also in real life. You know, you jump in from one formula type of car into another, don't you? And
the track conditions are different every time you get into a racing car. Even the same one, it's a different beast, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So,
but shout out to Tariq, though, if he's listening. What a wicked performance he put in.
Oh, he did, yeah. And
was
I'm sure he'll be back for another round.
He needs to. He should do, because I'm sure it was the final. It was third on the last lap, then ran out of fuel.
That's right.
So he would have booked a ticket. He would have booked his place at Barcelona for the season finale. So Tariq has got everything he needs to get through.
Well, we're hoping to bring a bonus SRO eSport podcast at some point, aren't we, Paul? So
we can
delve into that a bit deeper. But yeah, you know, he represented race department really, really well there, and
absolutely
was unfortunate. But
great to meet him as well. Great
would be great to meet him in real life as well. But you know, but I think he touched on a really good point where you know, the hardware does have a part to play.
Oh, for sure.
because he's used to one set of wheel and pedals and in that particular moment, you know, but he still, he reckons, you know, if he had more, you know, if he had more time with the whole, and I think that's where, like, the F1 esports element differs, because what they do is they've now got teams and all the guys use that hardware they're using in the tournament as well. All these races that are qualifying online will have a G27, a G25, a Fanatec, a direct drive wheel or whatever. So when they come to those on-site events, like we're doing with SRO, you know, they have to adapt. And that must be challenging.
And in a pressure environment too, don't forget.
Yeah.
So you've got a crowd and you've got, you can see the whites of your rival's eyes sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's not to be undersold how difficult.
No.
I mean, I didn't, in my mind, anticipate the number of spectators that you'd have stood there next to the rigs. I kind of didn't think about it. Then we got there and I looked up, and once you see past the blaze of bright lights in your face, I looked out and thought, ooh, oh dearie me, there's one or two people here. And you think, God, to drive under that. When Joe does his streaming and I'm racing, I can be an absolute demon. And then as soon as I hear him and we're looking at Paul Jeffrey, I just turn into a 4-year-old that's got no idea how to drive. I'm on camera.
So, you know, that's it. Yeah.
So hard.
It's cracking under pressure, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't know if I could cope with that, knowing that you've got, like I say, you can see, literally, you can turn to your left and see the guy that you're fighting on track, and you've got the cameras on you, you've got the people watching, you can either broadcast over the tannoy, you're driving foreign equipment in a different country.
Mm.
And yeah, man, that's a proper pressure cooker, that. That's credit where credit's due to everybody.
Indeed, Joseph, you mentioned when you were talking about hardware and how it makes you feel like it makes you a better racer, you're thinking about a wheel next. What, you know, do you know what you're thinking about going for?
Yes, actually, I have already got it all in my basket, you know, just waiting for the money to come in.
Oh, in your basket? You must put that in your basket. You must have seen that Vine guy go, oh, put that in your basket. No? Never a Vine user? No? Okay.
I must say, I'm not surprised I've been sitting here for the past 20 minutes just in silence. Anyway, before I just start getting ridiculed again, well, first, what I'm going to actually do, next thing I'm going to do is the shifter. I'm going to get a Thrustmaster TH8A shifter.
Okay.
Which is a nice one. It can be changed between a H shifter and a sequential, which I really want for rallying mainly. But then I'm going to get for the wheel is the Thrustmaster TX racing wheel, the servo base, so I can do the add-ons and stuff. And
so I do like again, I know it sounds like we keep plugging it, but the SRO Esports guys, they had the open wheel steering wheel, which I thought was quite a nice looking wheel, actually.
Well, I'm going to be going for, when I get it, I'm going to get two different wheels. I'm going to get the GTE wheel add-on, which is the 458 Ferrari add-on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get the Ferrari F1 add-on, which has got all the knobs and dials.
Yeah,
it's amazing does.
You like your knobs, don't you?
Oh, definitely. But to be fair, it's going to be the server base enough is expensive.
Who doesn't like knobs on the steering wheel, Paul? I don't know what you were thinking, but
the more knobs on the steering wheel, the better.
Yeah, the more adjustments you could do, Paul. I don't know where your mind was going, sir.
I absolutely agree. Filthy.
Sorry, listeners.
Whilst I'm racing, the one thing I want to do is play with some knobs.
Exactly, because you want to be able to adjust your map mode and your brake bias and things like that, don't you?
I wholeheartedly agree, but I'm a toggle switch kind of guy.
I don't like toggle switches. I do have quite a few toggle switches. I have a button box, quite a few toggle switches. They just annoy me. I like dials. That's what I really like. I'm looking at, it's got lots of buttons, but lots of dials. But what I love the best is it does have a button that you can press for voice. And it's just like, that is what I really need. Because for TeamSpeak, when you're on in a race on Race Department, you can join us, become a premium member at racedepartment.com, blah, 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 just
nice.
In a pool there.
Nice.
You can press this button and I can talk. And I have this dedicated button to do this talking. And for me, that's just like, that is the most important button on the entire wheel.
Tweet us at Race Department hashtag No Joe Talk if you want to stop Joe from buying a steering wheel with a button that allows him to transmit his voice.
Joseph, you know, do you think when you get that wheel, that's going to improve you even more?
I think so. Because I've gone through three racing wheels now. Not a lot for my, what, by now, it's an 8-year sim racing career. I've gone through three racing wheels, and every time I've got a new wheel, I have got better. I went from one with no force feedback to a new one. That one was great. It was fantastic. Can't remember what on earth it was. It was fantastic. But then I went on to what I now have is to the Logitech G29. I got even better, and I know for a fact I'm going to get better when I get this upgraded wheel, because at the end of the day, it's a reason it's an upgrade. It's a reason why it is higher up in the price range, is because it is better, and there's a reason it's better. At the end of the day, it's going to help you get better, and that's all I'm going to say about it, because otherwise I'll just say better about 1,000 times more. So there you go.
Paul, what's the next upgrade for you?
Oh man,
I know that you are literally dribbling over motion, but
yeah, the dream ticket's motion, but that just is not going to happen. My wife's lovely and she's very understanding, but also I've
got to be married to you. But anyway,
damn right she has. Yeah. I unfortunately don't cack money, so motion's not on the table. But I don't know, dude. I'd like, although I am a VR guy through and through, I would like a sexy curved monitor. I've got triples at the moment, but I'd like one of those big. Again, sorry to keep mentioning SRO Esports Series, but
yeah, what were they running there? What monitor was that? Was that a Samsung?
No, I was going to say, I would really like one of those.
Yeah, that's the 49-inch curved. If you have a look on our YouTube channel at the latest video that we put up, which was the little after show of the Esports Series, actually, AK Informatica, who are the people that that provided the equipment, they've commented, told us what it is. So bear me a second, I'm just loading it up on my phone people, haha, telephone.
It's called a mobile phone.
I'm still excited about that. It is a C49 HG90 Samsung curve monitor.
A lot of people are asking what that was. I mean, I run a 34-inch curved Asus.
I've got Asus, you know, that's as well. Really nice. That looks really nice. And actually, to be fair, for it being an ultra-wide gaming monitor, just under $1,000, is not bad.
Is that what they come in at, just under $1,000?
Yeah, the one I'm looking at here is about £900.
Oh, I'll buy three of them then.
Yeah, why not? Let's live dream. No, they're expensive, but I tell you what, I had some time in one of the cockpits, obviously, while you're there, and they are sweet. First time I've really seen one at any length of time. We saw them at the expo.
So again, you know, do you think that like a curved monitor would make you better?
Ooh, I don't know.
I don't know whether it would make you better over like triples.
Well, you talk about the experience element of it.
Just the experience. Yeah. You've not got your big thick bezels at your triple screen monitor. You ain't got a faff about trying to get the bloody things level, which is always a pain in the back.
I feel you.
But I still would say, categorically,
I hope the police
should
be told about that. But anyway, but yeah.
But a bunch.
Go again.
Nah,
it's just too easy. But yeah, I mean, I've had an Asus 34-inch now for probably over a year, and I absolutely love it. Like the colours, you know, they're just so good. But I don't know if I need anything bigger. If I'm being honest, but those monitors did look nice.
They just sexy, aren't they? It's a neat solution.
Yeah,
it's a neat solution. That's what impressed me.
Yeah, and it gives you a nice wide view, doesn't it? You haven't got the space for.
Well, I mean, it's comparable. To be fair, it's comparable in terms of space to a triple monitor setup. But obviously, it's an all-in-one setup, so it looks neater. You've not got your bezels. The clever things about like refresh rates and all that jazz that I'm not that familiar with. If you've got a banging PC that can kick out 4K graphics and whatnot, it just represents it so much nicer. Than more standard flat screen panels, but they do look sweet. They do look really sweet. But if Joe's saying they're north of $1,000, then not cheap.
Well, that'll be why they look so good, right?
Exactly. But then again, thinking about it, you want to buy, if you're starting your sim racing journey and you want to buy three decent sized monitors, you're getting not a million miles away from that kind of range anyway. A couple of hundred quid £300 a piece for a 27-inch, let's say, or so.
Yeah,
you're starting to get that kind of range anyhow. So it's six and one half a dozen.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, if you're weighing up, for me, you know, VR versus triple monitors, triple monitors works out more expensive.
Well, that's what I, you know, I'm glad you said that, because this bugs me massively. People are like, yeah, VR might be great, but it's too expensive. I'm not getting it. It's cheaper. You can pick up an Oculus or an HTC Vive for very little money nowadays.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a stupidly powerful computer. I mean, I've got a 980 Ti card and an i9 CPU. The i9 CPU is the best piece of PC hardware I've ever bought. And it runs VR lovely. Buying that VR headset is way cheaper than three monitors, and the horsepower you need to power a true triple monitor game is comparable with the horsepower you need for VR. So
yeah, no, I agree. I don't get those comments where people go, "Oh, VR's expensive." Have you seen the price?
Yeah, you can get into VR for $300.
If you want to buy cheap, nasty monitors, yeah, you could.
What you can do is go into VR for the same price that I went into getting my triples. It was the exact same price, and to be fair, if you are currently on a single and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go to triples, don't. Go to VR.
Yeah.
That's simple as that, because it will give you so much more. Well, definitely if you're only going to triples for sim racing, that's what I'm going to say now.
And also, I got to just say, right, while we're talking about VR, is I had a problem with my Rift. My left earpiece went. So for a couple of weeks, I put up with putting headphones on top of, because you could remove the earpieces. So I put headphones on. I've got so annoyed with so many cables, because the Oculus Rift headphones are really, surprisingly, are amazing.
Right? Yes, yeah,
yeah. They are very, very good. You can't hear people creeping up behind you. That's how good they are. Credit to Oculus. A couple of emails, and they went, right, where did you buy it? And I said, it was a gift. Can't tell you that. Blah, blah, blah. I don't have all the receipts or anything. I'm no longer in contact with the person that bought it for me. Blah, blah, blah. And they were like, fine, just send it back to us.
Nice.
So I packaged it up, sent it back. I got a refurbed one within a week.
That's brilliant. That is good service.
With my monitor, I did have a problem with my original Asus monitor. It took them 2 months. And so, because what I did was I bought a cheap monitor to use for a bit while I waited, and then before I turned it off, the monitor that was faulty suddenly started working again, but I still gave it back to them because I'm not having the fault reappear. But you know, anyway, so again, you don't get that level of service it with many companies that sell hardware. I was blown away.
There is one thing that I do have to add to you, Paul, there. The fact that you said that you don't like wearing the headphones on top of the Oculus. Are you on wired headphones?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's the problem. Because I'm on wireless and I much prefer having my wireless headphones on top of the Oculus. So I've taken off the earpieces.
Right.
And now I wear the wireless headphones. And to me, that's so much better.
Didn't you like the Rift headphones?
Well, my brother had a Rift for about a year and a half before I got mine. And I just, for me, definitely when you're on the track, they just seemed really pathetic. Compared to what I've got my current, like...
Yeah, if you spent £200 on some wireless headphones, Joe, yeah, they're not going to compete with those.
Well, exactly, that's where my problem, if I had that, because I had the opportunity to replace the Oculus earphones with what is a much better ones, that's what I went with.
Yeah. Do they make you any faster, Joseph?
Oh, yeah. Any upgrade to hardware makes me fastest. Yes, upgrade to headphones. That I could hear the gear changes. That's what it was. I knew I had to change gear. Can you stop doing that pathetic laugh? I will stop coming on a Monday. I'll leave.
We're not going to come on a Tuesday either.
Oh, gentlemen.
No!
Gentlemen.
No! Yeah. We were on the level of whether this should be an 18 plus enough as it was.
In process to Paul's constant ribbing, Joe decided to take away all pleasure from his life.
Yeah.
And on that note, let's move swiftly on.
I just go through it. I just like go every single time. Yeah.
That's it. I'm going to get a padlock for that door now.
Please tell me we're not still on the same topic. That's just a sight. I just don't want to think about a padlock.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, I think, please, you know, we've been going in an hour and a half here since we started recording, and I think we have repeated some of the comments we've made in previous podcasts, but, you know, to a point, what we're all trying to say is, yes, hardware does make you faster. Some will, I think, disagree with that. If you read on the forums at Race Department, some people do disagree with that opinion, but at the end of the day,
they're wrong.
Practice makes perfect, right? Now, whatever opinion you have, or whatever it may be, there'll always be someone who disagrees with you.
And they're always wrong.
Is that right, Joseph?
If you disagree with me, you're wrong.
I disagree.
What? Yeah, so do I. Yeah, I disagree. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do?
Well,
he's going to stop coming on a Monday. What? That'll teach you.
That'll teach you, because it'll be people in the comments asking where I am, or celebrating the fact that I'm not there. Either one.
Probably the latter, but...
anyway, if
there's going to be a party to celebrate you not turning up, me and Paul joining them, but...
So I give up. I quit. That's it. I'm not part of the Race Department anymore. That's it. I'm over. I'm
done. Oh, I'll put your tissues away. Right.
Oh, dude, not again.
I meant because he's crying. What are you on about?
I need to get off and have a shower, so yeah. I'll see you later.
Oh, God. I'm unplugging my mic. I'm crashing my computer.
Right.
I'm gone.
Okay. We need to bring the podcast to a close. Sorry.
Some may say 10 minutes too late.
Yeah. Got a bit delirious, isn't it? Don't forget, guys, if you want to take part in our club racing events for R Factor 2, there are some R Factor 1 races every so often as well. Assetto Corsa and Assetto Corsa Competizione. Check out www.racedepartment.com. And get a premium membership and join us. We're a decent bunch. Paul, you got much going on Twitch? Anything recently? Because I know you've obviously been very busy with the SRO stuff. So
yeah, we've got a few teasers and exciting bits and bobs for round 2 at Paul Ricard at the end of this month. So there's nothing planned. There will be stuff, but there's nothing planned yet. We've just got a few bits that we're putting together as we speak. So stay tuned for those.
Is the qualifying open now for Paul Ricard?
It's not open yet. It will be open very soon. There will be an announcement in the coming days.
Okay, great. And that's at the end of next month, isn't it?
Yeah, 29th of May. 29th of May, 1st of... what comes after May? June is the Paul Ricard race weekend. So it's the six-hour event.
See, Paul Jeffrey, it doesn't matter what the rumours aren't true. Paul Jeffrey does know the calendar. So
I come from up north, yeah. Me.
I'm attacking everybody this week. Don't forget to check us out on our socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Really, I'm genuinely not just saying this because it's Race Department, but I believe that is probably the best video, one of the best videos we've ever produced, with the highlights from behind the scenes from the SRO eSport event at Monza. So well done to, what was his name again?
It was Steve, or Vern Wazza, as he's known on the forums.
Yeah, absolutely great. And did he choose the music as well? Because I thought it really fitted well.
Yes, all the shots recorded by him, all the...
And was that his drone as well, was it?
The drone was some stock footage of a friend of his.
Oh, nice.
It's obviously We Can't Fly drones.
Yeah, I did wonder about that, actually, track. Yeah, how you got that. But yeah, no, I thought
it wasn't a massively illegal move just for the sake of video pleasure.
But no, I really, really, I thoroughly enjoyed watching that. Josie, have you done any streaming anything soon?
I am looking at it. I've got a few things up my sleeve, but with the new PC, it's just settling down at the moment, getting everything sorted. But they should be up again, getting running at least twice a week within probably starting in May, so within next week.
Yeah, I've noticed there's lots of good arcade content that you should be getting your teeth into. But, you know.
There's a lot of content going around, so it'll be a mix of club events.
You've got Dangerous Driving, you've got loads of stuff that I've seen
It'll be a mix of club events in the streams, it'll be a mix of doing loads of random games, and I'll also be showing off some of my lovely mods that I've been making.
Okay, and he's obviously very excited about that.
I am, because some of them are amazing. I can't wait. Anyway, yeah, so.
Excellent. Okay, Joseph? Having fun there.
Hashtag, right. Hashtag weird things. Round two.
Have you only just met me?
Hashtag weird Joseph. Yeah, that's what he shall be known as. I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank Paul Jeffrey and Joseph Wright for joining me on what's been episode 6 of the Race Department podcast. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, my friends. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank
everybody
you very
for
much
listening.
For having, yeah.
It's been fun as always.
Is it episode 6 already?
Yeah, it is.
That's
really
what
is,
I
yeah.
was just
wow,
thinking.
Dude,
wow.
That's gone fast.
Imagine if we were doing them every week.
Do you know, though, we've got
no,
enough to talk
no,
about. We could
no,
do it easily.
No.
Yeah,
no.
We,
no.
I'd rather, like, we've had this conversation off air, but, we wanted to make
no,
sure
no.
That we could.
I cannot
commit.
Deal with Paul Glover
the abuse.
Every single
yeah.
week.
Week. Yeah.
He's already making me want to jump out of my window as it is.
Yeah, and I do WhatsApp him as well, so I do, yeah. Any opportunity, I send him abuse. Yeah, it's absolutely fine. It's, we have a loving relationship.
Massively loving.
Just want to thank our dear listeners for subscribing, sharing the love. Thank you again for the comments, the feedback. We do read it. If you've got any ideas for any main topics, there's a thread at racedepartment.com. Please put forward your ideas. We want this to be interesting for you. So please do let us know what you think we should talk about next week. We'll be talking about AI and the development of that, because I think that's going to be a really interesting discussion there. So once we've got Davide back in the hot seat alongside us, we'll talk about that. So thank you once again for listening. Hope you've enjoyed the Race Department episode 6. And I've been Paul Glover. This has been the Race Department podcast. Cheerio.